Give me 2 eggs. So tomorrow I got nothing.
Do you believe that everybody should be born poor? 1 week of their life. 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own bed, different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own room.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence.
I came down here for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. I sat in the plaza. I watched the Orchard Church feed people on Sunday evenings. And I fell in love with their program. When our city became less tolerant of homeless people, their program got punished. It got moved behind the municipal building, and that's kind of like the back of the bus in the
south. Out of sight, out of mind.
Out of sight, out of mind, exactly. Symbolically, it would be powerful to bring them back. And I think it would be good for the culture of the city. I think it would set a precedent for the future. I think it would move us in a different direction.
I love riding on the sidewalk.
Justice for all. You sure we don't need to exclude somebody?
No.
Should it be for everybody?
Enough of that. I think everybody.
You know?
Every being on justice? The planet.
Even rich people?
Deserves justice.
Economic justice.
Yeah.
I understand rich people are being targeted here in Chico.
Are they?
Yeah, for sitting down and camping.
Oh, really?
Or is it poor people? Or does it matter? Does it?
The guy that lives in the castle up there that doesn't want to see poor people standing in line for food and got everybody thrown out.
Now, what could you say about nonviolent demonstrations and nonviolent communications?
There's so much anger in the world, and I think that anger comes from fear. And I think that when we confront fear, we find pain, we find grief, and that grief turns into love like that. So
awesome.
It's a matter of getting beyond the fear. And all of us stepping out, and that relates to meeting people on the street. Step out, meet these people, overcome that little bit of fear.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that makes them look a little bit scary, and you're going to find that you're not looking at objects anymore, you're looking at people. I'm beginning to find out they all have a life story. That life story tells me about who they are, the struggles they've been through, why it's important to know them as people, and once we start to know them as people, we look at them differently.
Guillermo Mash welcoming you to the March 26th edition of the Without a Roof radio program. We're on twice a week, KZFR, new slot here on Monday, 5 to 5:30, Wednesdays, 5 to 5:30 as well. Want to know more about the work we do in the Chico and the surrounds in Northern California? Google Without a Roof, we come right to the top, or, you know, hit up our Tumblr page, WOAROOF.TUMBLR.COM. That little vignette you just heard was Patrick Newman and other folks, including myself, Beth Fox, oh gosh, about 4 years ago, called Bring Them Back. It was referring to something that's back front center in our discourse here in Chico, California, around the simple act of helping people in need where they're at. You're going to be hearing from a bunch of folks today. Most importantly, my mom. You know, you'd shout out for my mom. My mom, in a segment I like to call Ask My Mom, is going to talk about Mayor Morgan's comments, of which, Melissa Doherty, shout out to Melissa Doherty. I'm going to read a little bit of her Second and Flume column that came out in the March 22nd edition of the Chico News and Review, titled Spot On, Mr. Mayor. I was torn between laughing and booing the other day when I watched Chico's mayor tell the TV news that the folks who give away food to homeless people are completely selfish. Sean Morgan was referring to Chico Friends on the Streets, a group comprised of a variety of smart and compassionate Chiconians who use their money to purchase and distribute food and other day life necessities, clothes, toiletries to those who live on the streets. Selfish, I think not. Selfless, absolutely. And the bottom paragraph reads, at one point during his TV interview, Morgan mimicked some of the pushback he's heard, presumably from Chico Friends on the Street and its supporters. Oh, you're outlawing homelessness. Oh, you're a rotten person. Oh, we're just trying to feed people. We're just trying to do the right thing. Sounds spot on to me, and it sounds spot on to my mom here on People Power Radio. This is a segment I call Ask My Mom. So I got a question for you, Mom. You ready?
I don't know, Bill. I might be.
But the mayor of Chico, Mom, people are giving out food and neighboring with folks that are downtown. They're poor, literally just no place to be. And the mayor called them completely selfish. And when I read that, I'm going, I bet you my mom's got a response to that. What would you say to a mayor that thinks giving people food when they're hungry is a selfish act?
He probably meant himself, Bill, that he was selfish because... I mean, that's the least we can do for our fellow man. My mash doesn't speak at all. Mm-hmm. What position is he in?
He is the mayor of Chico, California.
Well, let me know if he gets reelected, Bill, because I think that a lot of people there have noodles, and to say something so abrasive and disheartening. I mean, are you recording this?
I am, yeah.
Oh, I was going to call him something, but I guess I won't.
That sounds better, Mom. We'll leave that in.
But I must have
your genes and your upbringing, Mom, because I that wouldn't have gone over well in our not only our home but our neighborhood. You know, someone saying it's not okay to give someone some food. We have another group here in town, Mom. Their name's Chico First, and the guy that runs that group got the same kind of selfish hate. He was looking, I thought of you again, Mom, thinking of my mom. He had these 10 points that would make Chico a better place, Mom. And one of them was outlawing people giving away stuff from their automobiles. And I remember talking with Dad, God bless Dad, when he was here, and you, about how you'd travel around with food in your glove compartment so that you could help people in need. And, you know, we have people here in Chico, Mara, that would want to make you a criminal. What would you say to that?
I'd say maybe they ought to get tested for... what expanse they have in their brain, Bill, okay? Because, as you know, one of my mashisms, if on the day you die you were worrying about someone else, you will leave this world a better place. Life is not exclusively about us. And nevermore. I mean, I'm surprised because, you know, these people that are blowing off rather stupidly, they're making mega money, Bill. I mean, you know, and... can't they see that there's so many people that are in need and people just need a little comfort? I just don't get it. I really don't. It's the age we live in. Like I said, it's a me world, you know? But hey.
Thankfully, that's not everybody, you know, because...
Oh, no. Of course not. It's not. They are outnumbered mega.
Speaking of grateful, it was a kind of a fun story. I went downtown last night to get on the internet, and I screeched my tires. It was like there was money on the ground. It was a $10 bill on the ground, Mom. So today I got some coffee, but I was going down, you know, downtown Chico is really nice. Reminds me a lot of the, you know, like a New England downtown. But there was a guy, a poor man, you know, he had all of his stuff on his bicycle, and he was rummaging through the garbage. And I'm like... hey, I found $10 on the ground. I've got change in my pocket. So I gave him change, Mom. And it changed his whole attitude. He was rummaging in a trash can for recyclables. And he looked and he had this smile on his face. He said, oh, thank you so much, man. Have a really good day. You know, that's how we need to start our days. You know, reaching out and helping someone. You know, clearly if you're digging through a trash can, you need some help. And you don't need to have someone like the mayor of Chico defining me as being selfish for giving someone... that it was clearly in need, a little bit of comfort and a little bit of respect and some dignity.
Where is our oaths from when America had first started, Bill? I mean, that is your right to be considerate of others. It's I don't know. I get discouraged sometimes because it is such a me world. It really is. And the small things you do, you don't have to see if you can get a loan or something. It's just automatic. You want to do it. And good for you, because these people, they're, it's about me.
All right, Mom. Hey, I love you so much. You know, I got your genes, that's for sure.
Because, Bill, you couldn't have my genes. My genes must be smaller than yours. I have L.L. Bean genes on.
Any closing comments, Mom, for our listeners here in Chico, California? For folks who's joining, we are listening to my mom, you know, huh? From Hernando, Florida. But what do you got, Mom?
Live simply, that others may simply live. The great Mahatma Gandhi. And because he wanted to do that, his own people did him in. Yes, there are idiots in the world.
All right, Mom.
Is that too severe?
No, Mom, that's there are idiots in the world. That's called truth. All right, again, Mom Ash here for KZFR 90.1 FM, and I'm sitting in a room, production room here, downtown Chico, with Patrick Newman from Friends on the Street and Robert Jones from Friends on the Street. And we're going to start off with some self-introductions. Take it away, Patrick Newman.
Thanks for having us on, Bill. Real quick, I've been kind of involved in this homeless issue for the last 4 years in Chico, as much as I have time and energy for. So our Friends on the Street initiative is really to try to stand with the poor in the public space and make that visible so that we symbolically and on other levels connect with people in the public space, people that are living on the streets, and try to affirm their right to be there. And so we've been at that for a while. And that involves a lot of different issues, and some of those we'll talk about today.
Robert Jones?
I'm a professor in the philosophy department here at Chico State. I'm also, I work with Patrick with Chico Friends on the Street. I've been doing it for a few years, and like Patrick said, part of the function or the goal of our Chico Friends on the Street is to affirm people's right to be in the public space, our fellow Chico citizens.
That's great, guys. So why don't you jump in here, Patrick, for our conversation prompts here.
So just for openers, I always like to say that there's one honorable solution to the homeless problem, in quotes, and that is to house people, often called housing first. That's really the honorable solution. We get affordable housing units. We need 500,000 to a million of them coast to coast. We don't have them. Where I try to focus my attention is on people who are not going to be housed and who are going to end up on the streets tonight. And that happens every night in Chico. There's hundreds of people who are on the streets. What's happening with them? How's our city responding to them? How has it responded over the last 4 years? So I kind of see four ways that we've responded, and none of them have been good. One is to demonize people, to talk about the worst possible behaviors we've ever seen over and over and over again, and try to categorize people, try to stigmatize them so that we can see them through a lens of being undesirable and not worthy of our full attention and care and respect. The second one is criminalization. We've passed a raft of some of the most draconian criminalization laws in the country in Chico. Anything from falling asleep in the public space to leaving a cart is now can now be charged as a misdemeanor. That means that a person can be put in handcuffs and actually taken to jail for those things. It sounds unbelievable, but go read the statutes and you'll see that it's all there. The next one is deprivation, and that means that we make things unavailable in the public space to try to drive people away or to make their lives uncomfortable so they go somewhere else. A great example of that is restroom availability in Chico. So 8 hours of every day, there is no place for people who live on the streets to access a restroom. This is a kind of human rights violation that doesn't even happen in prisons, as far as I know. So we're talking about a less than third world level response when it comes to restrooms. And it's just this maddening thing that's been kicked around for years and has not been addressed in any sort of effective way. And that's a 2-hour conversation in itself why that's happened. The fourth way we've been moving is toward centralizing and containing services in one part of town, removing food, clothing, creating deprivation in the rest of the town, and then using criminalization and things like the community courts to dovetail with putting people into one particular part of town on a very low-cost basis. And so I call that containment. So those are the four ways that we are approaching homelessness in Chico, and there's ways we can push back on all four of those if we're if we're willing to do so.
What would be some of those ways?
So one way to push back against demonization is to actually get to know the people. So mm-hmm. the three of us have worked pretty hard at that. And as I get to know people, I see on a deeper and deeper and more convincing level that there's nothing there to demonize, that these are human beings just like me. Many of them, in fact, heroic survivors who deal with the most arduous circumstances and go on with life in a cheerful way. They're generous. Making it personal is one way to really blunt demonization. Another way is to just not cooperate in telling stories of demonization. And so when people talk to me about something offensive that a homeless person does, I have a sort of immediate response, which is, you know, something like, why don't you look at it from their point of view, or maybe it's better. So there's ways that we can push back against demonization. With criminalization, we really need a political force in Chico to get these laws off of our books. That could take a long time, and it depends on our political climate. But that's one way, is to get these laws off the books. The other way is to start becoming witnesses to what the police are doing. So I try as much as possible when I see police interacting with the homeless to get closer to that, and I encourage other people to do that too. Not to interfere with what they're doing, but to just be a presence there and a witness there, and to try to be a member of the community standing with that person, even if it's just outside the circle of what's happening, it makes a big difference. So more transparency with how we're policing, and then trying to get these laws off the books. The deprivation, pushing back on deprivation, means pushing for restroom access, and also, I think, trying to be present on the streets with the things people need. And that's one of the things we do, Friends on the Street, is try to get clothing, food to people. What people need to be available, I think, for me, I have to advocate for retaining the soup kitchen on Park Avenue, because I feel like that's a place where food and clothing can be gotten on a hospitality basis, in other words, without condition. So if I'm going to try to fight deprivation, I think I need to advocate for more points of contact across the city where people can get the things that they need. That's warm clothing in the wintertime, sleeping bags, blankets, food, those kinds of things. Because again, we're in the failure zone. This is people that are going to be on our streets tonight. No matter what we do, they're going to be there. Containment, I really think we need to have a community discussion about where we're going with that. That's really honest, because it's kind of easy to drift toward relocating people to one part of town or one area of a city or one part of a state. And historically, we've seen that. When we talk about relocating the Jesus Center, we're talking about relocating people historically over and over again. We've seen this pattern where when you start talking about relocating people, usually that's associated with authoritarianism. And I think in this case, that's kind of exactly what it is. It's trying to scrub the public space, get people into one part of town, and do it on the cheap. So there's ways to respond to all of these, but we kind of have to dig into the issues and work at it.
Folks, who's joined, that was Patrick Newman from Friends on the Streets. But in a round, not so roundabout and sick kind of way, dehumanization is such a blunt tool. It's like, these people aren't human. They don't deserve our help. They don't deserve this or that. It almost feeds that narrative by saying, and we're not spending any money on them. What would you say to that?
I think not spending any money is I think it's a win-lose culture. So, and it's become more so that, more and more that way. So this rugged individualism thing that's creeped in, it's a delusion. But I think what it's all about is, I win, you lose. There's reasons for it. I can justify it. It makes sense in my mind. And so therefore that. So if you want to have a society that, or a culture that tolerates the kind of wealth distribution we have in America, you have to have mythologies that go with that. Wealth distribution in America is a scandal, and it's gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. And some of the results of that wealth distribution issue are what we're seeing on our streets. So how do we allow that to go on unless we have some kind of, you know, set of beliefs that allow us to accept it? And that means,
right,
I'm worthy, that other person isn't worthy. And here's all the reasons why they're not worthy. So it even gets into this thing of the worthy poor versus the unworthy poor. Like, the worthy poor are those who can somehow be led to jump through a set of hoops that's going to take us to some success story. Those themes have always been there too with criminalization of poverty. Like, who are the worthy poor? Who are the salvageable ones versus the ones that aren't?
I'm going to turn it over. Robert Jones is also in the studio, but I've got a without a roof quote that I put together, and I'm going to do a shout out to Bobby Walden, who's the supervisor of HUD-VASH, which is a program that does housing now for veterans, and I'm in it. But I ended up kind of, you know, saying with pride, I'm a submariner and I was out on the streets for 7-8 months. I said, I didn't have any mental health issues. And he basically said, Mash, anyone, any person that is experiencing homelessness is in a mental health crisis. So I put this together. I said, homelessness exists within a perpetual state of mental health anguish, varying by degree and effect, person to person and day to day. What would you add to that, Robert?
I would say that the experience, Bill, unlike you, I can't speak from experience, but my experience comes with meeting the homeless where they live on the street. My experience is that to live that kind of life is a trauma. So we're talking about trauma.
It is.
So we're talking about a traumatic experience, and anyone who's been through any kind of trauma, and I unfortunately have been, you know that there are mental health effects to the to any kind of trauma. So yes, it's clear that experiencing homelessness in the way that we do in this culture, it is a constant state of, say, mental trauma, mental you know, challenge to keep your mental health. So yeah, I mean, I think that's trivial. It's trivial in the sense that once you stop and think about it, just think about tonight, if you had strip away all of your things, your car, your nice warm bed, think about if I put you out on the street, think about when I come here to the plaza and I see people who are in their 70s who are sleeping on the street. That is a horribly traumatic experience. So Bill, I think it's the characterization of being in a constant state of sort of mental stress it really captures the kind of experience that I witness when I come out here to the plaza. If I can say something else about something Patrick was saying with regard to containment and demonization, again, this story is as old as humanity, the story of demonizing, of dehumanizing, othering of others who are unappealing to us, right? So the first thing that we do in any kind of authoritarian regime, any kind of authoritarian framework, is to other the people that we dislike, and do that in a number of ways. Dehumanize them in describing them as less than human, animalizing them, describing them as subhuman or a different kind of being than us. Of course, as Patrick said perfectly, what this creates is it creates a legitimacy, it creates a mythology to legitimate the inequity, not only in wealth, but inequity and security, right? This is part of it. Is wealth is a reflection of your security. And so touching back on what we mentioned earlier, being insecure in that way, experiencing that trauma, that is an ugly experience to have to witness. But it makes it much easier for me if I just look at those people and dehumanize them, if I demonize them. That myth, it keeps me comfortable. And so that's really part of what's going on here is to keep people like me who are housed, who have a pretty, you know, a pretty reasonable income. I will feel much better if I could look at those people, other those people, demonize those people. And then, you know what? I can sleep better at night. And once again, I think this is a matter of bad faith. This is a matter of what existentialist philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre would call bad faith. And I don't mean bad faith in any religious sense. I mean, it's an intentional self-deception. It's a story that we tell ourselves in order to reduce the cognitive dissonance of saying, I live in the greatest nation on the earth, and there's a guy sleeping in the street there. How is that possible? And the way it's possible is for me to tell a story that says that that is not a person, that that is less than human, that person deserves what happens, I deserve what I got, and then I can sleep well.
Listeners just joining KZFR 90.1 FM, the Without a Roof Radio program, we are talking with Patrick Newman and Robert Jones with Chico Friends on the Street here on Peak Power Radio. Bring it over to you, Patrick Newman.
What you talked about the sort of inevitability of a mentally unstable state while you're living on the street. I think that's kind of what you were referring to.
Mental anguish. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mental. It's a feedback loop. So you start out demonizing people, you deprive people. And then no matter what your weaknesses are, if you want to call them that, or differences or whatever, in terms of mental health, those things are all going to be exaggerated, because when you deprive people of sleep, They're hungry. They're cold. They have nowhere to use a restroom. They're being constantly profiled. They have absolutely no privacy on the street. That kind of experience is similar to torture. And what it does is it breaks people down. So that's why I always look at these people and I have more respect for them than the average person simply because they can survive under those circumstances. This is very, very difficult way to live. And so you're taking the most fragile people who often end up on the street because they have something like a brain injury. That leads to drinking. Then you have it's compounded with alcoholism. Then you're putting them under this kind of stress on a daily basis. And what do we think the outcome's going to be? How is that person going to be able to respond in ways that are going to be, that are not going to feed if we're cruel enough to apply this kind of narrative of demonization, that are not going to be subject to that way of thinking?
All right, that about does it. You know, we started and ended with my mom. My mom's going to be talking a little bit about the Boston Celtics, going into talking about Practice, the premier sports talk show on radio here in Butte County. And Google us, man. Without a Roof, we come right to the top. And check us out this coming Wednesday here on Peep Pow Radio. And we got the next show coming up is talking about Practice. It's the only sports talk show in Chico, California, man. Everyone's kind of excited because I've been telling people I've got my mom, a lifelong Celtics and Red Sox fan, and just like me, you like the Celtics better than, I don't know if better is the right term, but you go Celtics than Red Sox. So let's talk a little bit about the Red Sox. You see the game? Red Sox. The Celtics last night. You see the game?
Of course I did, Bill. Like I've said to you, honey, I pay extra on my cable to see them. I mean, hey, I just really pined for Irving because I know, of course, he's wishing he could be there because, let's face it, most of this year, when you and I would talk, it was about Kyle Irving.
Irving, yeah. I don't know if I've ever seen, I'm not saying he's the best by far, I'm not saying he's the best basketball player ever, but what I would say, Mom, because you've been watching it longer than me, I've never seen anybody better with the ball in his hand off the dribble than Kyrie Irving. No. I mean, he's a magician. No. He's like Bobby Orr with a basketball.
Yeah, I do crossword puzzles. I think I might have mentioned this too, Bill. And lots of times the answer to the question is
Bobby Orr.
Come on. Yes. Cowabunga, you got it. Yes. I mean, and I still remember that time when he was in the air spiraling, you know. Matter of fact, they were on yesterday. See, I get to see him a little if they're around Florida. And I'm not sure. I believe they won because, of course, well, it was a very boom game a day because the UConn girls were on yesterday too, Bill.
I know you're a big UConn girls fan.
Oh, that Gino Auriemma, it is unbelievable. And they are still, he's won over 1,000 games, I believe, and they are still, whatever it is, it might be the 30s, but it's 30-something zip. In other words, they've won every game they've played. I mean,
can't get much better than that.